Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
And welcome back to another episode of the DFL Swimming Podcast. Dez and I are coming in, sadly, with the closing episode of the NCAA conference season. Dez, you looked a little concerned there for a second.
I heard some static, so I wasn't sure if that was coming through, if that was me or you. So, yeah, but yeah, the concern was definitely about the NCAA season. For sure.
I think he thought I was like maybe about to announce the end of the podcast for a second. but today, we got a packed episode. Men's Big Tens, Big 12 for the women and men. Ivy's on the men's side. We got loaded situation with the automatic qualifiers from mid-major conference. And, of course, everyone's favorite last chance meets to qualify for NCAAs today. So we got a lot to get through. So let's just fire away, Dez. Anything good going on? It sounds like you were at a little age group meet over the past weekend. How was that?
Yep, age group meet. We had like our last chance qualifier for our state meets and beyond. And then we have our state meet next week. I'm recovering from the meet for sure. Going to those meets and, you know, being there all day, you get a little beat down and sick afterwards. I was coughing up a storm until about last night.
Yeah, no, gotta love a good age group meet with about 700 little age groupers to keep tabs on. All right, well, with that, let's get into Big Tens. I think for you and I both, that's probably the marquee event from this past week, being alums of the meet ourselves. What'd you think of the meet overall, Dez?
It was fun to watch the results. It was fun to watch the swimming. That was a pretty fast meet, but I mean, India domination, kind of how we talked about last week. There's a lot of speed in the Big Ten, but they are really, really lacking, I feel like, in the sprint freestyle. I was looking at the first day prelims, and it was, you know, harder to make finals in the Big Tens in the 100 back, I believe. What else is that day? 4IM and the 200 free. But just really lacking the sprint freestyle. Indiana looks really solid. I don't know. What do you think? How'd you feel about it?
I was honestly overimpressed by the meet. I mean, you got to think about a Big Ten conference that has less teams than both ACCs and SECs on the men's side, like significantly less. I think it's 4 or 5 less teams on each side, basically, or on the men's side.
I mean, that's almost 100 kids.
Well, exactly. So for the Big Ten to have a harder to make event, I guess, I mean, that's for it to be harder to make it back in an event like the 100 back in the Big Ten versus the SECs or ACCs is ridiculous. And made me feel happy that I wasn't part of the Big Ten meet this year. Because I would have been booling in the C final again. But at the same time, the same token, the sprinting situation was almost noticeably weak compared to the SEC and ACC. So I don't know why that might be.
I feel like it always has been that way. Right. I don't know if there's ever been a time where it took under 20 to make a C final. In any other conference, you've had to go sub 20, I don't know, the past 40 years, I want to say.
Does. Last year, 2025, Big Ten, men's Big Ten meet, it did indeed take under 20 to make the C final.
Okay.
Your boy over here went the old 19-8 and was sitting at home on.
Okay, well, my bad there. But in the past years before that,
That was the first time ever that it took sub 20 to make it back to the C final, and I was a victim.
You're a victim.
I was a victim.
Maybe go faster, Casey.
Maybe. I was sick. I dropped more time in the 50. I was sitting on the sidelines. But
I almost think that sprint freestyle is obviously like the thing everyone wants to do right now. I wonder if just the lack of sheer teams causes a lack of numbers in the event. Like, I'm pretty sure there were only like 28 scoring dudes in the 50 freestyle. Like, I don't think there were over 30 scorers. So I wonder if just the lack of sheer numbers contributes to that. I don't know.
I think it creates a different composition of the meet on a yearly basis, because over the last 4 years, especially since we saw the cut of Iowa and Michigan State, there was just, and before the addition of USC, there just were so few kids at the meet that I remember back, like, if you were in the 200 breast in like 2022, you were going to make finals. There weren't 24 kids entered in the event. And because of that, then there was, the sprint events were still really heavy at that point. And so you'd see a pendulum swing from event to event year on year, because all the teams looked, they're like, oh, if we just enter someone in the two breast, they'll score. And so then they would enter, have a bunch of entries in the two breast the following year.
Yeah.
And then less entries in the 50. So it kind of, we've seen that. It's a little bit better now, but we still continue to see that year on year, where you kind of see different events start to get really heavy. And we, especially with the different event order that the Big Ten went with this year, I think that was even a little bit more of a crapshoot.
Especially when you get to like Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, you don't really see that. When you get to the teams after that, there are probably a decent amount of summers that don't quite have that third event, and are maybe versatile enough where their coach can kind of throw them in anything. So it's like, what can we throw you in that's going to get us?
So, I mean, you can get the putt thrown in when you're trying to move up against, I mean, move up. You got to look at a team. I mean, I guess we're jumping right into the results here, but I was Northwestern moving to fourth this year over leapfrogging, I mean, Minnesota, Wisconsin, USC, all the way to get to fourth. They edged out Wisconsin by 7.5 points. But that's to your point right there, where in when you do have events that exist that are basically enter and score, predicting that right and having extra dudes, it can be the difference when you're looking at 7.5 points there. So
definitely. Yeah, they had an outstanding meet, and I think we kind of saw that coming, but still surprising nonetheless. Another team that jumped quite a bit, Purdue jumped a decent amount, which was really surprising. Their sprint freestyle looks really good. I just think overall they look a lot better than last year. They went from eighth to sixth, but they jumped teams like Minnesota, like USC.
Yep.
To get in that position.
And how far back were they from, Wisconsin, they're only 50 points back, which was, would have been
unbelievable
like previous years. I think to me where it lies for them is they have a stud freshman sprinter. They have him now, and you start to see guys like a name that comes to mind is Nathaniel Thomas, a random name on the Purdue roster, who I swam against in the C final of the 50 free like 2 years ago, duking it out going like 19.9. And now he is a 19.5 going basically 19 flat on their relays took a huge step forward this year. Realistically, top to bottom, they took a big step forward from where they haven't been there in that place for 5 or 6 years. So.
But you get those, I think since your freshman year even, you get those, you know, that one really good sprinter that kind of makes a culture shift, and all of a sudden you have someone that's able to anchor your 200 medley relay, and then other dudes around you are stepping up. You know, if you have a guy that goes, you know, 18 flat start, 19.0 flat start, you just need a couple dudes that can go 19 low, 19.2 range to have a really solid 200 freestyle relay.
Yeah, when you're looking for splits top to bottom on the relay, you're in a tough spot. So those were probably two of the more impressive teams. I guess on the opposite side, USC dropping they weren't even too far away from Minnesota in seventh place. I mean, USC was fifth last year? Fourth?
Yeah, they were fourth.
Fourth? Yeah, so I mean, They I mean, won the 800 freestyle relay last year, to my recollection. And it was a really...
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Honestly, a shocker to me because I know they lost a few names. Luke Maurer, one that comes to mind. But, I mean, they still have the Shimolewski brothers. They have Oliver Sogard Anderson. I mean, they have hitters still. And I just didn't come together at all for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I actually think Wisconsin looked really good as well. I thought they were going to take a step back, losing their coach, and I thought they looked really solid.
They did, but you got to think, Wisconsin was really on a trajectory.
Yeah.
To at this point, they probably would have been hoping to be in that top three conversation, getting into that mix with Ohio State. So it definitely, although I agree with you, I was still shocked. I mean,
They moved up.
I thought they had a great meet last year. You know, they're missing Tycho Treppy Ormsby this year. That hurt a little bit on the sprint freestyle relay side of things. But I think if they're able to build on that, I mean, they have, you know, the freshman phenom, Enzo Solitario, who is going to probably continue to progress probably towards, you know, Big Ten title or whatnot. We'll see him at NC's in a couple of weeks here. But, yeah, no, I think they still got to probably be happy with how things panned out this year with the coaching change.
I think that's the biggest thing is you get a coaching change and you don't know if that's going to totally shift a culture, if people are going to buy into that. And that's what I think is the biggest thing. And it ended up working out. There was no steps lost. And I think that's kind of surprising sometimes.
One thing, I don't know if you saw their social media, but they after each session, they pull on a coach. For an on-deck or a swimmer for an on-deck interview of what they thought of this session. And I sat there watching them all. I was like, I don't know if this is sweet or like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Mixed feelings on that. I agree.
But it was, I will admit, it was kind of comical sitting there and watching Ben Wiegand give his thoughts on the morning session. Oh man, but yeah, no.
You know what was depressing is Penn State. I mean, they get last every year, but they got last by 200 points.
Yeah, we were. I mean, the thing that's weird about, I guess they have no diving, because I honestly thought their swimmers were okay, but I guess they, like someone like Cooper Morley, I think he missed out on the A final, maybe in the 100 back this year. I think.
Yeah, that's someone you got to have hit.
Mariano Lazzarini. I mean, that was a type of person I was like, oh, like, okay, he's back this year. But notable, Victor Bagagna not present at the meet, correct?
No.
Yeah, so he's was their rock for the last couple of years when they did have, you know, Lazzarini kind of here and there. And I mean, he was a shoo-in for them, so...
It seems like, well, Matthew Bittner performed pretty well, but it seems like he stepped in and Cooper Morley almost like took a step.
There were flashes there for Cooper Morley, but compared to what we had seen in the past, I think it was an off year, maybe off meet for him. So I don't know where he sits in terms of NCAA qualification, but I don't know where they, I mean, because also, notably, Penn State DQ'd their 200 medley relay, which they were third on night one with getting, they got the A-cut. So I don't know if they've been there. I would imagine they did go the A-cut at midseason, not for sure on that. But that's something, too, when you look at their NCAA. I mean, Lazzarini will for sure be there. I don't think Bittner or Morley would be there, but they would be relay guys if they managed. Yeah. I know that they would be in the 4-3 relay, I believe. I think they're in. I don't know what all their relays they would for sure be in.
You think they would – I mean, that 200 medley relay was their fastest relay for sure.
Penn's 306.4 in the 4 meds. That's not going to go.
123.0 was their seed time in the tournament.
Okay, so not. Oh, that's good. That'll go.
It is, right? I think it's 23.5.
That'll go. So, yeah, kind of just a weird mixed bag, I would say, for but obviously can't be super happy.
No. Then going into the top three, we both guessed the correct seeding. Indiana 1, Michigan 2nd, Ohio State 3rd. But there was a bigger difference between Michigan and Ohio State than I kind of expected. I expected like maybe 100 points, but Michigan won by almost 200.
Yeah, I've been really impressed, in my opinion. And still coming up 350 points shy of Indiana. Someone like Lauren Wigginton in the 4AM obviously lost out to Josh Bay, which we'll get to in a little bit here. But I mean, that is a huge step to go 334 high. I mean, that's he is present on the Canadian international stage, but to then he's a solid swimmer last year. Don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but that's a huge swim. I think they just kind of had that top to bottom. Luka Ladanovic and the breaststrokes doubling up there. Tyler Ray, obviously, with a huge meet. I'll be interested to see where he goes at NC.
For people that don't know, Tyler Ray won some of the meet, but he was 43.8 in the 100 fly. He led off the relay in 18.6, I want to say. Ended up getting out touched in the 50 freestyle later on in the meet, and then he also won the 200 fly in 138.8.
138.8. I mean, talk about someone who is a relay guy for the boys. He goes 18.6 on the flat start on the 2 free relay and can barely get that sucker under 19, or didn't go under 19 in the individual.
Yeah, right.
Second from. So, I mean, honestly, though, hats off to him. That's how you get it done for the boys on the relay. But yeah, let's get into a little bit of the individual performances that we saw here. We just touched on it briefly. Josh Bay was one to me that was honestly a shocker. Dez and I were predicting winners of each event on the side during the meet, and I was looking through the prelim results of the 4AM, and I was like, okay, Josh Bay just dropped 7 seconds from his seed time in the 4AM. I was like, all right, well. I was like, fair enough. He's like right in the mix there, but like, I mean, are you kidding?
He's not gonna win it.
There's not gonna be another 7 seconds in there. And then, sure enough,
dude goes 334, true freshman. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was a shocker.
I fully expected Ohio State Yankovic,
yeah.
To pull out that 400 IM and just have himself a meet. And he ended up getting third behind Wiggins and Bay.
Yeah. That was crazy. Cause I mean, yeah, I think, I don't know for sure about Jankovic, but I think he's maybe back to back Big Ten champ in the 4IM.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, no slouch. I mean, we were talking, the number of swims that were under 340 was insane. Half of the qualifiers in the NCAA are going to be out of the Big Ten after just about. So that was crazy. 4AM was really a shocking event, just top to bottom there. We mentioned it. Tyler Ray 43.8 and the 100 fly was
Big Ten rock.
Yeah, followed up by the 138.8. I mean, for a guy who is as jacked as he is to go 138 with that frame is
insane.
I might be laying it on too much, but jeepers.
100 breaststroke was a really fun race. Like you said, Ladanovic won 50.6.
Yep.
But Lazzarini was 50.8. It was a really good race. 200 breasts. Ladanovic broke the meet record in 149.3. Again, a freshman looking really, really good for the future breaststroke for Michigan. I thought the 100 back Indiana ended up going 1, 2, 3, 4, which was awesome. Owen McDonald looked really good, and I have a feeling he's got more.
Talking about right now.
What?
That was not awesome.
Awesome for Indiana.
Yeah, for the
Oh, I thought they went 1-2-3-4. I thought 1-2-3.
They might.
But I mean, awesome for Indiana.
Yeah.
Owen McDonald, Miroslav Needla, and then Raekwon Noel, all under 45, getting it done.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Yep, and then you got, yeah. So, I mean, that's an embarrassment of riches, I guess. But, I mean, it's one of those things where I will be interested to see, because if they can replicate that, and because it always seems like they're on the borderline of being able to perform at NCs, but like right now, like, okay, Owen McDonald is probably an A finalist, okay, but then Nedla and Noel, I think they're board. I mean, under 44.6 from Nedla is going to make it back. Maybe I will see if that's going to be A final NCs. I think that's a toss up, but that requires them to produce. I mean, I'm not surprised that McDonald was down to 44.2. I think he probably still has more in the tank. But that's like this Indiana team, as I look as how they project towards NCs. It's like these swims right here where they're like, I mean, they got three guys under 45 and 100 back, but those second and third, they need to be matching what they did there. They can't be creeping back to 45.0 to where that's not gonna be back at finals.
Well, you just have to hope if they don't make A final that they're going to be in that ninth or tenth spot, right? Because there's no finals for B finals, so then they get those points automatically.
Yep.
Owen McDonald swam the 200 IM, which I think that was kind of a question. It was like, is he going to do 2 IM or is he going to do 200 backstroke? His better events. It doesn't necessarily surprise me he does 200 IM. I think he's probably the favorite going into NCAAs. He was 140.1. Although Colin Gear was also 140.1.
Yep.
I think those two are almost your favorites going to NCAAs. No one's broke 140 yet.
Yeah, that could be an absolute dive. I would expect, I mean, for sure, but I would expect someone like Baylor Nelson. I mean, so could Owen McDonald. So I think that one could, that one's like on the section, just primed to be an absolute, fights all of a, you know, of an event at NCs there. But yeah, no, I think it's significant that he did not do the 200 back. They stuck with Kai Van Wester and hold it down there. He did convert one the two back there, 139.1. Miroslav Nedla as well in there, 139.4. So I mean, it's not like they were weak necessarily in the two back, but I think you would look at Owen McDonald being someone who's like 138, maybe 137, probably, which would be another A final. So I think he'll be safe in the 200 IM at NCs. But it's a question of that third event is what do you want to do with him there? What makes sense? Because I think he did the 100 fly, yeah, 44.6, and that's 44.6 is anything but comfortable to be a final at NCs, let alone an A final to get the actual second swim this year. So that'll be an interesting one to see when those psych sheets come out, what he's actually entered in.
A few other big swims. Sarkany looks really good, 14.25 in the mile. Luke Whitlock looked really good in the mile, 14.31, which I don't know, some of you guys might recognize that name. He actually made the Olympics in the 800 free this past
Florida.
Cycle. Committed to Florida and then was nowhere to be found, and all of a sudden he's popping up at Indiana.
Yeah, so that's probably, I mean, realistically it's good to see him back in some way, shape, or form after kind of going under the radar for a couple of years now after making the Olympic team as kind of a, like, wait, who made it this year? So, other swims, yeah, I think, you know, Aaron Shackle, still, I mean, he was okay, 4.11 in the 5.3, but still, I don't think anywhere near maybe what people would have initially expected him to be as an NCAA swimmer. Yeah, Thomas Navakonis got it done in 100 free or 200 free again this year, 131.3, a little bit slower than last year. I think it was 131.0.
He mentioned in his interview, though, he was like, all eyes are on NCAAs. So,
yeah, well, I think he's been someone who's been a little bit of a victim of, you know, like maybe peaking at the wrong time, being a little bit slower at NC. Makes sense for his last go around to try to. And I mean, I think Ohio State kind of maybe they knew better than we did. Kind of the writing was on the wall. They were probably going to be sitting right there in that third spot on kind of an island. So, I think one final talking point, I don't know if you noticed as much as I did as the meet went on, but honestly, Big Ten diving seemed down to me this year. It was a lot more of a wide open field. And that's not to downplay Minnesota's own Andrew Bennett,
shout out, who,
diver of the meet, the shining star for Minnesota swim and dive. This year was the platform event, was third in the 3 meter and in the A final as well in the 1 meter springboard.
I think he went 1-2-3.
1-2-3. Okay.
10-1-3.
Oh, but I mean, I think notably, I think IU did not need, I mean, they lost Carson Tyler, Quinton Henninger last year. But did you see that too?
Yeah, I don't know if like diving itself was down. Like Drew Bennett obviously dove really well. There were a couple of Purdue divers who dove really well. It's just that you don't see that Indiana, you know, like you said, Henninger or Tyler, or like you don't see those guys there anymore.
Yeah.
Papa Bianco was like one all three like 1 year. Like you don't see those big names anymore. And I think that's kind of what shows. Maybe not weak, but there's a mix of winners this
year. I think it was a lot more wide open. You didn't quite see like the consolidation of power in the A finals and stuff when you were like, oh, okay, here comes IU with 700 points in this A final. So
it was refreshing to see.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I mean, it opened the door for our own Andrew Bennett to really solidify the win over Penn State.
It also goes to show like Indiana didn't have their divers as prevalent this year, but they still won by just as much. Yep. So like their swimming really getting that much better.
For sure. You know? For sure. Awesome. Well, I think with that, I think we can probably put a wrap on men's Big Ten. That was, I think, a pretty good breakdown there of the action. I don't know if you can tell folks, but I think we enjoyed it thoroughly there. And I guess the one down note is I think Minnesota, I think probably understands that some work's got to be done now for next year and to get back to where we belong in the Big Ten.
Eighth is definitely not that spot.
Yeah, no, for sure. We don't belong down there. So I think we'll be back, but it's gonna gotta have it go wrong. You understand?
A good long course season, putting the work.
Yeah.
How Minnesota does it, you know? Rise and grind, boys.
Let's hope so, Dez. Let's hope so. So we'll kind of go to a little rapid fire here through some of the other meets. Not probably as in depth or as many storylines elsewhere. I think a lot more the other conference meets that we saw were a little bit more set in stone, kind of from the gun. Big 12 on the men's side, I think biggest talker here is Arizona State getting it done in the 4-3 relay, 2:42. That was not on my bingo card for Big 12s, but at the same time, I guess they have the squad do it. Ilya Karun, 40.7 leadoff. Adam Chaney, 41.2. Remy Fabiani, 40.00. And Johnny Kulo, 40.07, I think he was. Look at the splits. I mean, usually you'd expect maybe not even a 41 to be on that relay and probably won't be at NC's, but yeah, that's...
That's what I'm thinking. Is there a chance of 240?
240? Ugh. Yuck. So that is not... I mean, the thing is, they're losing every single person. Or no, not Ilya. Well, yes, Ilya? They're losing three of those four swimmers, and not that they don't also have more depth, but... this is their year to put
that
record.
So the crazy thing is they still have like four of their dudes that are going 41, but yeah, you're not going to get this 40 point. I think you maybe get some more rest under Chaney's legs and he's probably going 40 point as well.
So yeah, I know that's going to be, that was crazy. But I think one thing that I do want to know is, I mean, their sprint depth is insane. But I think in some of the, you know, more mid-DD events, they're a little bit less. I mean, and you're not going to have five people in the A final in every event. But that's just, I mean, we maybe talked about it a little bit before, but looking towards NCAAs, I think you've got to watch. It might have too many people in each event to where it's going to hurt them because they're, so much of their team is in the same events.
Yep, I would agree.
So,
my biggest surprise to the meet was actually Adam Chaney going 138.3 in the 200 backstroke and winning.
What a gut.
Prior to Arizona State, when he was at Florida, his best time was 145. And my thought was like, well, Florida can't get him to swim the 200 back. Like, no way in hell Arizona State's going to be able to. And why was I wrong?
Yeah.
38.3.
I was surprised. I would have expected him to go to Arizona State being like, I'm not swimming. I'm not doing the 2 back.
Yeah.
Instead, he's like, ah, let's go 138. Why not?
Herbie was like, ah, we'll put you in that. I think he swam. Yeah, he swam the 100 free at Florida before that. He was 41.7.
Yep.
Is still his best time. And yeah, my thought was like, he's definitely going to get better at the 1500 freestyle, maybe the 50 back, but it did not have that in my cards. Him do the 200 back.
Yep. No, definitely not. On the women's side, actually I'll mention Arizona men looked pretty solid too. They got a nice little core. I think that we've talked about a little bit before. They'll have a nice little team at NCAAs. On the women's side, Arizona State women kind of just ran away with it. I think Arizona women second.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty solid.
Yep. We'll see. I don't mean it's hard to tell on that. The women's side is a little bit weak, I would say, on the Big 12. So we'll see how that shakes out. I don't think there's just not going to be a lot of presence there at the NCAA level at this point. Ivies, Princeton with a big win, led by none other than Mitchell Schott, the core of that Princeton men's team. I think 139.0 was a time that in the 200 fly. That comes off the of comes to mind for him. Any other huge swims that you remember from this meet?
131.5, 200 free.
Yep.
200 IM 140.9, which I think is technically an off event for him. Like, I don't know if he's going to swim that end.
For sure. Plays. For sure.
Crazy. Michael Schott was going to shout out myself earlier this year. He was my swimmer to watch going into the year.
Well, if you remember that his name was Mitchell, not Michael, that might be a start.
Oh, no. I'm butchering it. I have him pulled up right here, too. It's been a long morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a long morning.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, he also was 41.7 and 130.3 splits. Yep. 200 freestyle.
Yeah, no, he is a jack of all trades for them. That's kind of when you don't have a bunch of depth on a team, you end up getting put on everything, and then you kind of just go crazy. So he's really found his spot on that team. Noah Milliard, another huge name, 410 in the 5 free. I think just getting through to NC is.
William Mulgrew went 14.26 in that mile.
Yep. Yep. And the stupid Ivy League does the 1,000 at conference, so we got some 1,000 times in there too. But
8.38 is pretty fast in 1,000. Shout out William again.
So yeah, there will be probably, I would imagine, looks based on the times I see here, maybe 9 or 10 qualifiers probably out of.
There's more.
Okay.
Because of the automatic qualifier, they're not powerful. Like they're. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. You're right. So,
some of their weak events, like they'll even get a backstroker in there. Right. That might be weak.
Right. We have the list. Are the feelings quite as strong about these automatic qualifiers as they were on Sunday when I sent you the list of the auto qualifiers?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
It's not happy, folks.
I think auto qualifier is cool, but it seems like there is just going to be a plethora of swimmers who shouldn't really be at the meet. And there's going to be a lot of male and female swimmers who are top 20 to 30 swimmers in the nation that aren't going to be at the meet. And swimmers who, quite frankly, could score aren't going to be at the meet, right? You're going to get people who are going to be have no chance of scoring. That are going to be there, that there are kids left at home that could have a good chance at making a B, or maybe they have a swim of their life and they make an A final. Just kind of disappointed in that regard. I had some talks with some fellow coaches, and they agree. It's like, you know, this really cool, trying to give opportunity to, you know, some lower D1 summers. And, you know, maybe it shines a light on those schools, but the bigger D1 schools have just as much a chance of getting cut than the lower level schools. So I don't know. I think that this is a cool rule. I think it's probably going to have to change after this year based on how many qualifiers there are.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's, I actually think it's better. I don't know. I didn't know how it was going to play out, and I wasn't necessarily opposed to it beforehand. Honestly, after seeing it play out, I'm honestly largely okay with it if they make the like provisional cut or whatever they're calling it faster for next year. I think there are a lot of kids who are close enough, in my opinion. I look at the 100 back, I think someone, let's see, I have it, Holden Thomas from George Washington, the A-10 conference, 46.24. And the 100 back, one conference, got the auto bid. That was, like, basically right on what the cut was. And, like, I get it. It's someone like Blake Conway from Cornell in the Ivy League, 45.7. I'm a lot more okay with that. That's not what the cut was, the cut line was for last year. But, like, I mean, you got a lot of kids who might make it to NC out of a last chance meet who aren't even going to be close to getting back to that last chance swim that they had anyway. So, like, I think I see it either way. Like, it needs to be a little bit faster because I think there are probably a few times that are going to, that did get in here that are going to stand out.
I mean, you mentioned those backstrokers. Here's my, like, you're looking at a cut now. The cut line for the backstrokers is looking to be under 45 now. Just to make it to the meet because you have these auto qualifiers. I agree that it's cool. I just think it's going to have to be faster. Yeah.
Yep. No, so that, and that'll, well, I mean, we'll see what happens at NC because that's the next piece of this is all the last chance meet that we see. And I think if you're still going to allow for last chance meets and that to exist, whatever, we can have auto qualifiers because I think there's just as much of an argument against last chance meets as there should be against the auto qualifiers. Like if you can't get it done at conference and win your event and like get the auto bid, like why do you deserve to get a last chance meet to like, I don't know. I think it goes both ways. I don't know if that's a crazy take, but if you're going to like, if the last chance gets to exist for people who can't get it done at conference and midseason, then I don't think that anyone should be all in a huff about the auto qualifiers because those
I think there needs to be more.
They did it when it mattered at conference.
I agree, and I think there needs to be more of an emphasis maybe on midseason for some teams, and then you won't have to do that last chance qualifier, yep. Right? Like if you're going all in for,
because realistically, mid-season, if you're going to do last chance, you're not going to have the ideal prep for NCAAs. It's too hard to do conference, do a last chance a week later, and then try to like then do another prep for NCs. Like realistically, you're cooked. You just want to make it to NCs, and that's, you just want to get to the meet, and that's what people have against the auto qualifiers is people just getting to the meet. It's like if you're making it on the last chance, you're basically just making it to the meet. So that's my piece on the whole thing, and maybe that's a hot take, but that's where I'm at. So
yeah, I do think now the fact that you are getting to the meet, like I said, it's going to take 44 and the 100 back to make the meet. If you're going 44 and the 100 back, you have a good chance at scoring
for sure.
Now that there's going to be a less number of less kids that are going really fast that are making the meet, right? Like you have 20 kids that are 25 kids that are going 44. Like you just have to beat 10 of them. You're scoring.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No. So it'll be some prep episodes for a little some previews for both women's and men's NCAAs coming up here. So we'll fill everyone in with the whole picture. As we get towards the biggest meet of the year, Des. So any final takes, hot comments from your side of the fence?
All right. You hit it on the head.
Good stuff. Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to the DFL Swimming Podcast. And we will catch you in the next one.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and that cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain!